Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Obviously, Justin Fields is a young man who understands understands his role as a role model, understands his role as a football hero to many people, and he has adapted quickly, Tom Thayer, to this reality in Chicago where you can relate to as well as anybody what it's like to be a Chicago Bear in the city of Chicago where you are a beloved figure. And some guys understand and accept and embrace that responsibility and that reality. Some guys don't. But Justin Fields clearly does. And his actions yesterday really illustrate that, because this is a young man that went above and beyond to make one fan very happy.
This is a powerful fan base. And you want to be, and this is a group of fans, young and old, from all over this area and beyond, that want to support you. They want to share in your success. They want to embrace you because of the effort and the hard work you put in to being proficient at your sport, where you're going to not only help the Bears be better, but you're going to allow them to enjoy their fandomonium more because of the example you're trying to set.
Fandomonium, I love it. That is that is the right word to use here and to fill in the gaps here. So Bears fan by the name of Scott Morrow was shot in a random act of violence on June 20th. And he was rushed to Mount Sinai Hospital, I believe. And he lost a spleen and he lost a kidney. And it was a terrible situation. And he made known, he was a diehard Bears fan. He's 41 years old. And the reason he ended up on the Parkinson Spiegel show last week was because of what he said when he was, you know, suffering there after being wounded. And his quote was, "Within a couple moments, I thought, well, I'm 41. Pretty much all of Chicago has gone our lives without even having great prospects for a franchise quarterback. I can't die before seeing Justin Fields take the field, man." So it meant he's sitting there after being shot. And you know what? We should probably hear from the man himself, because this was a fun story, that a good story that got even better when Justin Fields did what he did yesterday. But this is Scott Morrow on the Parkinson Spiegel show last week.
Tell people what happened the night of the 19th into the morning of the 20th.
Well, I was walking to a friend's place late at night, and I was walking from Logan through Humboldt Park. You know, I thought about getting an Uber, but it was nice out and it was on the late side, but you know, people were out everywhere having a good time still. And it was about a mile walk to get close to where I'm going. And I had my headphones in, listen to music, didn't hear or see anything, and just felt very sharp radiating pain in my back. And just kind of crumpled to the ground, passed out, cops found me, bullet hole in the back, and they rushed me to Mount Sinai.
So before you're in the ambulance, Justin Fields enters your mind.
No, I think it was while I was in the ambulance. So, when I was on the ground, I was still pretty woozy and barfing and stuff.
Okay, so before you get to the hospital, you're thinking about Justin Fields with a gunshot wound to the back.
That's right. Yes, absolutely.
Mad respect. Mad respect. I love this guy.
Do you think, Scott, do you think that, you know, the strength to fight off this injury until the fine folks at Mount Sinai could take care of you, where did your body find the strength? Do you think it was the thoughts of your mom and your nephew and your family? Or was it the thoughts of Justin Fields that gave you the physical strength to fight through this?
Well, Yeah, definitely the family. I'm working on an album that was thinking about that. But I think, yeah, I think there was maybe a little power of the beloved coursing through the veins there. You know, giving a couple, two, three extra shots of adrenaline.
Gotta love that. Gotta love that talent there. That was Scott Morrow, the Bears fan, who was shot in a random act of violence on the score on the Parkins and Spiegel show, a musician who I think appealed probably to Spiegs, obviously, and good on Shane Reardon for tracking him down and putting him on the radio. But that wasn't the end of it, which is, I think, speaks to the fandemonium that you're referring to, Tom, because yesterday, somehow Justin Fields got wind of this. Now, he's a rookie quarterback. He's got the entire city waiting for him to start and develop and be and save, right? Be the savior of the franchise. And he has a presence of mind when he's back in town after his football camp to go with his parents and visit Scott Morrow. And he brought over a jersey. And on Scott Morrow's Twitter feed, at Scott J. Morrow, M-O-R-R-O-W, he says, just met Bears rookie quarterback and future Hall of Famer Justin Fields, as well as his lovely parents. I can't believe they came out to visit a little old gunshot victim. Bear effing down. Thank you, Chicago Bears, 670 The Score, Parkins and Spiegel, Shane Reardon, and Chris Emma, 670. And there's a picture of both sets of parents with Justin and with Scott, and Scott Morrow posing with the Justin Fields jersey next to Justin Fields. Power of radio, great gesture by a young man who gets it, and just a feel-good story.
You never know the role sports is going to play in a person's life. And it's incredible because I think in my family, I'm the youngest in my family. We have five kids. We had three adopted kids. And then when my brother and I started playing football, it created a camaraderie within my family that was unbreakable. But it also created incentive in my mom and dad's life as they got older and they went through some health issues. So, and I feel so sorry for Scott that we're talking about a gunshot wound because, I mean, my gosh, the guy was just walking home and they had this unfortunate incident. However, the motivation, the build of adrenaline, the respect of a guy like Justin to come over here and take his time out to show an appreciation to this man to help him fight through the difficulties.
Empathy.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. But again, it's the role of sports and how it's going to play out in your life. You know, you think of your life in sports and the role it plays in your life and in your family. And it plays an enormous role in my family from the trickle-down effect to when my brother started playing football all throughout my nieces and nephews that have gone on to play sports and all the young men and women of today's generation that sports is playing a significant role in their life.
It's a great point. It's a powerful message, and it's a reminder. And you can help Scott Morrow. He has a GoFundMe page set up because he's got a lengthy recovery ahead of him. He's dealing with the reality of losing his spleen and a kidney. This was something that was a random act of violence, as he pointed out. So he's going to need more help along the way. But this was a nice start and a great presence of mind from Justin Fields, the Bears quarterback. And Tom, you could not be more correct about, and again, I feel like talking to you about it, I'm not going to say anything that you haven't lived. I mean, you have been you spent a career in Chicago and had a great career as a broadcaster after a terrific career as a Chicago Bear at the most, part of the most magical team in Chicago sports history, perhaps. So you know about the power of sports, especially in a city like this. Got to ask you about Steve McMichael and how he is doing, because you talk about how people pour out their hearts and feel connection. And there's just been this outpouring of affection for Mongo because of what he's going through with ALS and how public he has been in facing it, confronting it, and dealing with it. What's the last time you saw him, and how would you describe how he's doing?
I saw him at an event that they had for him a couple weeks ago. I talked to his wife, Misty, last week, checking up on him. Steve is inspiring because in the difficulty of what he's facing, he doesn't portray that picture. He doesn't portray this woe is me type of attitude. He's got a great sense of humor. He's super witty. just the remembrances and all the respect that I have of Steve is the way that I think of Steve when I do get a chance to talk to him or see him. And I'm inspired by the group of people that have gone to his house in support of him to show how much they love him and how much they appreciate his willingness to share his story. And it's and as much as Steve inspired me as a young football player, and as much as he helped me develop and the lessons that he taught me about growing up to be an adult in the football world, he's inspired me equally as much since the first time I saw him and found out he had ALS. And I remember, because it was kind of, you want to have fun with him. We walked into his house and he was shuffling across the living room floor, and me and Jay Hilgenberg walked in, and I go, "All right, Jay, this is our chance. Let's get him." And he goes, "Oh, man, I knew you guys were setting me up for something. You get me now." So it was you know, embracing the moment. And when you're able to go in there and sit with them and with ex-players and talking about the good times.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do.
You guys will always share something and have that in common. And that's a unifying, bonding experience, 1985, and just that era. But has it exposed you to people? I mean, has this brought some people together that you haven't seen in a while, or just for a common cause, or through Mongo? Because there's going to be events. There's going to be, you know, things that to raise awareness, not only for ALS, but what he's dealing with and trying to raise money and awareness.
So the ex-teammates and the ex-wrestlers and stuff have come to his house in support of him. Which, you know, Ric Flair, I've had the opportunity to have conversations with him because of his support of Steve McMichael. You know, in Fensick and Kevin Butler and just a whole, you know, Dan Hampton and the whole crew of ex-teammates mm-hmm. that are going over there. But so they had an event for him out at his restaurant in Romeoville called Mongo's, called McMichael's. And it wasn't the celebrities that showed up. It was the, and I mean this with all due respect, just the common people, just the neighborhood people, the people that have come from Iowa, all around the state of Illinois, that have come there in support of Steve McMichael. So, yeah, you can have these events, and we've had them at Wrigley Field, and we had them at his restaurant, and you can see the teammates that come and support, and shoot, Ming could ask for anything, and they'd show up. But it's these people that have an appreciation, that have an opportunity to come and support Steve at these events. That's more inspiring to me than anything else.
Because I do think it's not everybody who would be dealt these set of circumstances that would want to be as public in confronting it and in bringing attention to it, right? Some people would want to try to cope privately, or maybe try to go it alone, so perhaps, because they don't want to. They don't want to expose themselves, and they don't want people to see them in the state that they're in now. Because ALS is cruel, what it does to the body and the mind, and what it just does to the family around them. But it seems as if Steve McMichael, just because of his personality, has not embraced is the wrong way to look at it. But I think he has accepted the public nature of this and kind of gone into that with the personality that probably doesn't surprise many people who know him well.
You know, I think his wife Missy plays a really important role in this disease, because as Steve is on the decline, she plays a real happy face, a real an approachable role in Steve, making sure that he has the necessary needs he has to be assisted with in order to, you know, get in a position where he can come and sit out in the living room and you can talk with him, and just a positive frame of mind and the supportive role. It's inspiring, because it's as difficult and your supporting staff than it is on, I'm not going to say it's as equally as on Steve, but it's you need that support. You need that positive face when you're looking at the difficult times that you're going through. So I think Steve has got a great support staff and the teammates and the people that have an opportunity to go and visit him.
You're around Halas Hall a lot, and you're whether you're watching tape or whatever, I think maybe, you know, pre-pandemic is probably the best reference point. But when you see, and maybe it'll be different this year as well, But when you see young players, when you see rookies coming into the organization or new guys who are joining it as veterans, do you ever have these conversations about whether what the Bears mean to Chicago and what a responsibility it is as a Bears player? Maybe not. That sounds more weighty than it is, but just to recognize or respect that fact in a city like this?
You know what I do? Is every chance I get to talk to a new player that has just come aboard, whether he's a rookie or a veteran, and before, if we're going to do an interview, if we're going to do Bears All Access or something, I try to tell them how important it is to embrace the microphone, to embrace an appearance, to put on that, not be something you're not, but understand that every time you're in front of a group of people and you're speaking or you're at a microphone, how important it is for your future, because you're not going to play football forever. And once you get away from the sport, you're going to need something that occupies your attention, your mind in a positive way. And so I think all these people have to represent their time in front of the public at an event to respect the people that you're talking to.
Who sent you that message? When did you realize that as a professional athlete, all that you just described? Because maybe you learned it playing at Notre Dame, where you go to college and you're playing college football, but you're playing it at the most famous, publicized program in America. Was that experience that shaped you as a professional, or where did you get that message?
I was a part of the first losing season in 18 years at Notre Dame. And I remember they don't sit there and put you in a class of how to handle the microphone. But because you're at Notre Dame and you're getting beat on a national exposure, you're always doing interviews. And so you had to be realistic about what was happening, about why you were, why you were part of a losing team, because you weren't supposed to go to Notre Dame and lose. When I went to Notre Dame, I said, okay, I guarantee you within one of those 4 years, we'll win a national championship. My second year, we played in the Sugar Bowl, got beat by Georgia and Herschel Walker and his crew. They went on to win the national championship.
And Buck Ballou.
Jerry Faust came in to Buck Ballou. Jerry Faust came in, and we had a losing season. And I think that was probably the most difficult football season ever. Even though I did have some losing seasons with the Bears, that was a team that you weren't supposed to have a losing season. And to be the first one in 18 years, it was tough.
So you recognize just how many people pay attention to you as an athlete on that stage and the importance of acting responsibly on that stage.
Yeah, because you're going in to play at Tennessee and you're getting booed. You're going in to play at South Carolina, you're getting booed. You're getting booed in every away stadium you go. I remember my sophomore year, we played Alabama at Alabama. And I walk out of the field, you see Bear Bryant. Football's bigger in life, bigger than life at that point. And it was the loudest boo we've ever walked into a stadium in my entire career. And so you kind of grew an appreciation for how much you were disliked. But then we went on to win the game 6-0. And it was a super at 7-0. And it was great appreciation walking off the field as much as it was walking on the field.
He's Tom Thayer. He is in for Mully today. So we are going to take advantage of his presence and talk a little more football when we come back. We also have Jim Schwantz coming up at 7:40. We're going to talk about the possible move to Arlington Heights. We have Zach Zabin at 8 o'clock. We're going to talk a little Cubs. Maybe talk about his
road trip
down to St. Louis with Pat and Ron. Mike Golic coming up at 8:20, and then Mike Florio at 8:42. Plenty more to come here on the Mully and Haw Show, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Packers, Bears, any idea who's going to be there? Anybody who's going to be quarterbacking in the number 12 jersey?
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. Let's see.
How about September 12th then? How will you go for that one?
What's that one?
That would be the opener against the Saints.
Oh.
All cheesers rejoice.
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
Okay.
I know you're a Milwaukee guy.
I know. Aaron, everybody is on their toes. They want to know, man. They want to know.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just having a good time out here with Tom. I'm trying to talk to him about it. He's going to keep playing or not, you know?
Hey, Aaron, we go way back. You can just tell me. I'll keep it a secret. Hey, I promise I will not put it anywhere.
Charles, I'll tell you this week in Tahoe.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Tom Thayer's in for Mully today. That was Aaron Rodgers earlier this month on TNT with the match, the golf tournament, where he was mic'd up and talked about a lot of things. But one of them, the question everybody's wondering, will he report to training camp? What's going on with the Packers, and what will the season bring? So, Tom Thayer, you are as insightful as anybody in Chicago talking about the Bears, and certainly the Bears and Packers. When you look at the Aaron Rodgers situation and the conundrum facing the Packers, do you assign blame, responsibility? Is it too early to try to find fault with what's gone wrong here? Where is your head at when you look at what needs to be done and who's responsible for being in the situation they're in?
You know, I think earlier, if Aaron Rodgers was so disgruntled and he wanted to be a part of the decision-making process after they chose Jordan Love, then they should have given him the list of the wide receivers in this year's draft and said, Aaron, you pick. Go back and do some studying. Tell me who you want. Make him feel more important in the part of the decision-making process of personnel. Bring him a weapon that he is going to satisfy his attitude. Because, you know what, listen, Aaron Rodgers is not going to go to another team because he's not going to get traded to another team in the midst of training camp and then be able to absorb the whole system efficiently and be able to go and be the Aaron Rodgers he can be with Devontae Adams in Green Bay. He's going to play in Green Bay. And it's sorry to say, but, this is what they've built, and this is what Aaron Rodgers' ego needs. He needs to be a good player, not a player that's, learning.
At this stage of his career, as he sits here at 37 years old, as crazy as it may sound to ask, doesn't he need the Packers more than the Packers need him?
I think
he's 37 years old, can he afford to? His options right now are retire or report, hold out or play. And I think that when you're a 37-year-old, the answer to that question and your options are much more limited than if you're 30 in your prime.
Yeah, because he's going to have to go where Aaron Rodgers can be the best quarterback he can be, and that's with Green Bay because he knows the system. So you go in there and you say, oh, Jordan, you had all this offseason work. It's going to help you speed up your learning process, and you're ready when you need to be ready. But Aaron Rodgers is, you know, he's got the supporting cast around him. He's got the great support of the fan base. He goes out there and throws for 350 yards week one, and all is forgotten.
And forgiven.
Yeah.
And I think it happens very quickly when you produce. Okay, for the sake of the exercise and the discussion, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers are what? And the Packers without Aaron Rodgers are what? What's the difference there?
They're a Super Bowl contender with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, I agree with that.
I think this division is wide open without him. I don't think there's any clear-cut favorite, but I think that the Bears have the ability to go out there and compete for the division title as much as Minnesota or Detroit. I think, you know, bringing Jordan Love aboard, it's going to take him a little time. There's, you know, no quarterback unless your Dan Marino comes in and you make an instant impact. So,
but is their defense good enough? Are their weapons good enough that if you have a pedestrian quarterback that might, you know, throw his way into, you know, adversity at times and be unsteady at others, is the Packers supporting cast around Aaron Rodgers good enough to be competitive without him?
No. Because I think Aaron Rodgers makes the profile of the offensive line so much better because he bails out the offensive line. The quickness of his decision-making process, just the greatness of his arm talent, the way that he can create teams off balance by looking one way, albeit knowing that he's going in an opposite direction, the whole eye communication with the playmakers, running backs to receivers that he has. I mean, he's an artist. The
right.
guy is unbelievable, and he's got unbelievable arm talent. And I just think that when you go back and you look at Peyton Manning's career and you look at what he was able to do for an average offensive line and make him look like a great offensive line, then you take those same offensive linemen that get free agent deals and they go to another organization that they don't have Peyton Manning, then they have a hard time making the team. So you can go and look at some of the free agent offensive linemen that have moved on from Peyton.
I mentioned yesterday that the Bears' plan for Justin Fields can't ignore, in my mind, in my opinion, the fact that Allen Robinson may only be here for one more year. So if you have a franchise quarterback that you want to develop, as well as a left tackle that you're trying to incorporate into the starting lineup, you have to recognize the fact that that process is going to be improved and perhaps accelerated by having them on the field at the same time. So I look at Allen Robinson's presence for one more year as having an impact on Justin Fields' plan, whether when to start him or not. You see Green Bay, another external factor perhaps, what happens with Aaron Rodgers affecting potentially how the Bears use Justin Fields and when.
Yeah, to me, I don't think the moment's too big for Justin to be ready to play immediately. Again, I see a lot of what you're going to be able to evaluate is how he transfers information from the classroom to the practice field.
Right.
I'm not just saying put him out there even though he's making, you know, verbal errors and mental mistakes on the practice field, then he's telling you everything you need to know. But if Justin Fields is transferring that information efficiently from the classroom to the practice field and he understands everything he's saying in the huddle, then look, man, I'm speeding up this process because he's played in front of 100,000 people. He's been to the biggest of the stadiums. He's played in the biggest of games. So it's not going to be a shock. You know,
nothing's going to phase him.
Right. It's like, you know, coming from Notre Dame, the first time I ever played in front of an unsold out stadium was when I played in the USFL. We had big crowds in high school and we sold out every single game in college. So going to Soldier Field or going to the stadiums that were sold out when I got into the NFL, it wasn't that big of a shock because I've been in 100,000 seat Tennessee. I've been in, you know, these marquee stadiums around the country and the college atmosphere that were packed and boo conscious the whole time.
Do you think that because Justin Fields has done that, that some of the things that come with being a Bears quarterback in Chicago are going to be less of an issue than it was. And you hate for the sake – Mitch Trubisky is who he's, you know, succeeding. But it seemed as if some of the external factors affected Mitch in a way that you don't expect them to affect Justin Fields. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think Justin, just the multiple uses of his athleticism and the pressure that he puts on an opponent's defense and how they have to position themselves in order to guard the right and the left equally as much, because Justin can, you know, he's the versatility from his legs. When I look at Justin Fields throw passes beyond 20 yards, his accuracy is, it's not something he has to think about. It's just something that he's got built into him. And that's one of the haunting aspects of Mitch's game, was passes over 20 yards. They were thrown out of bounds. They were thrown out of the window of opportunity. They were overthrown. They never put the receiver in position to make the play successful. When I see Justin with a flick of a wrist throw an efficient 20-plus yard pass, you can see why, you know, why he got drafted in the position he did.
Back to the Packers for a second. So just to be clear, I think we talked about yesterday, if Aaron Rodgers reports to training camp and plays week one, he doesn't have to report to training camp on time. But if he is their quarterback for this season, you think the Bears should be patient and stick to their plan, and Andy Dalton, until it's not Andy Dalton, and use Justin Fields more conservatively. Whereas if Aaron Rodgers somehow blows up the franchise by not showing up and Jordan Love is thrust into the position and there's uncertainty and instability at quarterback for the Packers, you think the Bears should maybe seize that moment and opportunity and say, okay, Justin Fields, your time is now.
Yeah, I do, only because, you know, you think of going out to Los Angeles week one, and I think it's going to be a heavy Chicago Bears-supported crowd. I think if you go out there and you tell a new defensive coordinator in L.A. to get prepared for Justin, it's going to be a different game plan than that new defensive coordinator getting ready for Andy. And yeah, definitely there's certain assets that the Rams have, Ramsey, Aaron Donald, you know, so they have some quality players. However, when you put Justin's athleticism on the field, and if you get an undisciplined play by the backside defenders, you're going to open up RPO opportunities all day for a guy. And then all of a sudden he starts capitalizing with his feet as well as his arm. It puts a lot of pressure on your next defensive opponent.
Isn't it somewhat remarkable to think here in Chicago, because of the, just since the draft, you're able to ask these kind of questions. Could the Bears conceivably have the most stable quarterback situation in the NFC North over the next 5 years?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, because there's a lot of uncertainty about Kirk Cousins, what right. he's going to offer Minnesota.
And what's going on in Detroit?
Yeah, you got Jared Goff there in Detroit with a whole new coaching staff. That seems that's going to be predominantly a run-type football team initially in their development with the new head coach. And then, you know, with Aaron, so if he comes back this year, is he coming back this year just to get himself out of here next year? And then if you give that type of experience to Justin – now you're talking about probably the most solid quarterback in this division.
So just to close the loop on the Packers, on Monday there's a shareholders meeting, I believe, and Mark Murphy will speak, and hopefully he'll say, well, I don't know about hopefully, but the thought is he won't say anything that makes this bad situation worse, like when he called him a complicated fella in Aaron Rodgers, which I think he took – who knows how he interpreted that.
He shouldn't get so offended. I mean,
he's pretty sensitive, though, Tom.
Have some thick skin, and you know, and it's hard to tell a 17-year vet to grow up. But you know, come on, everybody knows that you're super talented, and you know what you're capable of playing. You have to create a good working atmosphere there. Don't come in and cause a group that some people are siding with Jordan, some people got to side with Aaron, some people are siding with management, some people are siding with Aaron. You can't create factions in that organization.
If Aaron Rodgers wants Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, fired, should he be fired?
No.
As a condition of him returning?
No. That's, you know, so what? Then the next player that is dissatisfied with their general manager, they're going to make the same request or requirements that get rid of this guy or I'll come
back?
It's
a heck of a precedent to set. If you were to buckle to Aaron Rodgers and do that. I don't think they will do that.
It'd be like Brett Favre telling them to fire the GM back then when they hired when they drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron and Brett should. Brett came out and said, "Hey, it's not my job to get Aaron Rodgers ready. It's not Aaron Rodgers' job to get Jordan Love ready." So take the same approach.
We're going to continue the Bears talk. We're going to talk a little bit more about the possibility of the Bears moving to Arlington Heights, which is something we haven't discussed yet, Tom. And we're going to bring in Jim Schwantz, who knows a little bit something about life in suburbia, out the Palatine, the mayor. Also former Bear, and you know him well from the WBBM pregame show. So looking forward to talking to Schwantz next here on the Mollenhauer Show and Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Jim is on the road. Hey, Jim.
I'm like torn 50-50 on this. We've had season tickets for 70-plus years. I've been going since I was 9 years old, and I'm 43 now. You know, I love driving into the city, seeing the stadium, all the history behind it. Would I love to see a new stadium that's state-of-the-art and everything? Yes, but I don't really want to lose that history and all the stuff that I grew up going to.
Mollenhauer, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was caller Jim on the road last month on the Mollenhauer Show, calling in to share his thoughts about the Bears' possible move to Arlington Heights. Tom Thayer is in for Mully today, and it's time now to go out to the Home Run Inn hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. And that is where we find the mayor of Palatine, also former Bear and WBBM pregame Bears show contributor, Jim Schwantz. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. And pizza on the grill is outstanding, by the way.
Yes, I can
vouch for that.
Oh, definitely. You want to get your Home Run Inn pizza on the grill, Jim. All right, so welcome, Schwantz. We love having you on here. We have to get your perspective as a suburban mayor. When you look at, and a former Bear, when you look at the Bears possibly going to Arlington Heights, what was your first reaction and how realistic do you think it is?
Well, you know, David, when the bid first went in, I was giving it a 5 to 7% chance when it was the Bears kind of on their own. When the partnership transpired the next couple of days, I increased those odds a bunch. You know, it's exciting. You know, we're here in the northwest suburbs. There's a huge tract of land. It's an unbelievable property, over 300 acres, and the ability to develop that is exciting. You know, and I have no doubt that Arlington Heights will do exactly what's right for not only them but the region. And if the Bears are a part of that, my God, it would be a huge win for us here in the northwest suburbs. And, all the economic development opportunities, the infrastructure improvements, a lot of people have been complaining about some of the infrastructure in and around there. And this would be the catalyst to trying to get a lot of that stuff redeveloped and investment in the infrastructure. So from the mayor's side, you know, it would be a huge win for us up here. From the former Bear side, you know, I could ride my bike to work, which would be a lot of fun. I think that would be a lot of fun to be able to do that.
Hey, Schwantz, on the bigger events that they have now at Arlington Park and what you've been through in the course of your mayor career, how involved is your community when Arlington has, you know, their biggest race events?
Tommy, the million has kind of gone, you know, south a little bit with regards to the amount of interest and the excitement. It's really the one event as far as racing goes that really draws. And the last event that I can remember as mayor that really kind of taxed us with regards to some of our police presence with regards to traffic control was when Lead the Wise was from American Idol was doing a concert at Arlington Park. There was a lot of need for traffic control on that, and it was kind of a last minute thing. There really wasn't a lot of time to plan, so the Arlington Heights community asked us for a little bit of help with some extra police officers. So really, taxing wise, it hasn't been that bad, Tom. And Arlington Heights does a really good job with the big event that they know is coming, the Arlington Million.
So, Jim, knowing local politics and some of the bureaucracy as well as you do in your role as mayor of Palatine, and understanding the landscape in terms of building a new stadium, what would you see as the potential hurdles that need to be cleared, or the things that could get in the way of this happening?
Well, all, you know, David, anytime you're dealing with a project this size, it's gonna draw a lot of different agencies. And you're right. The bureaucracies in the state of Illinois is what's going to be the big hurdles. You're talking MWRD, the Midwest Water Reclamation District, for when you develop a piece of property this large, there's going to be a lot of need for compensatory storage. There's going to be a lot of need for, you know, conveyance of water. That's going to be a huge topic for especially the existing neighborhoods in and around there. All of a sudden, you're putting impervious surface onto something that's a lot of grass and land right now. That's going to be something you're going to need to talk about. IDOT's going to need to get in the middle of this, and Illinois Department of Transportation, because of the main roads and what you're going to need to do to build up the infrastructure. And then, of course, you've got Cook County with the roads in Cook County as well, and then the collector streets of all the adjoining municipalities. So yeah, there's a lot of things that would need to come together, and that's why this is not going to happen tomorrow or within the next couple of years. If it even does happen, it's going to be a long-term project. This is going to need to be done correctly because it is such a big project, such a big property, and it's going to impact a lot of people.
Schwantze, would on-site parking hurt or help the project? Or would they like people to come in through mass transit and be able to exit the same way? Because if you think if there's a 75,000-seat stadium and everybody is bringing in their own car because parking is so accessible, would that hurt or help the neighborhood area? Or will it complicate the infrastructure needs?
Tommy, I've been in my Palatine my whole life, and I remember, you know, back when the Million was the big event, when the great animals were here, the great trainers, huge purses, all that good stuff. I remember when just regular race day was a huge event. And you're right. I mean, that was back, you know, 30, 40 years ago. There was a lot of need then for people to get here in other ways. You know, people coming on Route 53 and Route 53 backing up, you know, pretty good ways coming north and south. So I've been here enough to see that, and obviously mass transit would be the way to go. The brass ring in this whole thing is that Arlington Park has its own metro stop. I mean, it stops, the train stops right at Arlington Park. You don't have to walk anyways, except to, once you're on the grounds, you're walking whatever a couple hundred yards to what would be the stadium. So, yeah, the ease of parking is definitely something that would be a huge win for the project, but then at the same time, it does encourage a lot of people to drive. So that's what I'm getting at. I think there's a lot of need for planning on this thing, and that's why, you know, if it does happen, it's going to be a long-term project, because a lot of things have got to come together, and it's got to be done right.
Jim, you understand Bears fans, Soldier Field, Colonnades, Lakefront, city skyline, all of these things that inspire traditions that they cling to as a reason perhaps not to get on board with this idea of moving to the suburbs. What do you say to those people?
I agree 100%. It's a tough hurdle to cross. You know, I'm a traditional guy too. I still call it Comiskey Park. I still call it the Sears Tower. I that's just how I am. And you know, and I love going down to Soldier Field. I've been going down there for a long time, like most Bear fans. And there is something to be said about going down there to the grounds and what took place there and the history and the colonnades and everything that there is, the skyline, as you mentioned, David. But at the same time, it is something that I think, if it's done right, if it's done correctly, if you incorporate some of that history, I know it's not the history of the building, but the history of Soldier Field, into a new stadium, and you bring that state-of-the-art feel to it, the ease of getting in and out, the fact that you can capture somebody on that grounds and have them there all day, you know, not just a couple hours of tailgating, watching a three-hour football game, and then you know, the park district kicking you off the grounds. This is an opportunity to be there all day, and then a stadium that you can visit during the week and, you know, during the off time, and maybe there's a Hall of Fame there. We can see Tom Thayer's jersey. We can go down there and we can be excited about those types of things. That's the kind of stuff I think, if it's done right, I think Bear fans will warm up to. The traditional Bear fans, the traditionalists, as you mentioned, because there's no doubt. I've talked to a lot of Bear fans like you guys have, and that is the number one thing that is brought up is the tradition of that building. Hey, I went to my first Bear game there. My dad took me. We've been going there, as Jim, the caller Jim said, we've been going there for, you know, season ticket holder for 70 years. You know, those are big hurdles that would need to be crossed. There's no doubt about that.
Hey, Schwantze, so this year the Bears are going to have training camp at Hallis Hall. And with the rules, they're going to have between 800 and 1,000 fans that are able to come and support practice. It's a beautiful facility, one of the best in all of the NFL. So if they have a project like this where the stadium, you think there should be an attraction to build a practice facility there too that could possibly house more fans on a daily basis to come and watch practice? Or do you think there are two separate entities when you talk about the overall big picture of development?
That's what you just nailed it, Tommy, right there. It's what do you want to do as an organization? Is it about the fan experience? Are you a Jerry Jones? Are you, you know, trying to promote your product? Or is this about getting ready for a football season? If you feel getting ready for the football season means being at your facility where you've got your training room, you've got your weight room, you've got your locker room, you've got the feel there that gets your team in the best possible position to be successful during that football season, then you keep it on the grounds. And that's, you know, obviously what most organizations have done. There's very few that actually go anywhere anymore for camp. But if you want to bring a fan experience to it, then yeah, you would be able to put something together that would rival, you know, some of these newer facilities. Not something like what Jerry Jones has done down in Frisco. I mean, nothing's going to compare to that. But you would have an opportunity there to really extend the fan experience. And again, get fans on the grounds and have them there pretty much all day. And like the old Platteville days, kind of make a day of it. You're there all day. Your opportunity to get autographs. You can see guys, you know, out doing things in the outside of the football activities, and kind of embrace that. But today's NFL, it seems more and more like it's about getting everybody in the facility where they feel the most comfortable, and then getting ready for the for the 16-game grind.
17 games.
Yeah.
Great. I told you I'm a traditionalist.
Great stuff, Jim. Appreciate the perspective.
Thanks, Schwantzy.
No worries, guys. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Jim Schwantz, former Bear, now mayor of Palatine. Good stuff from his perspective, understanding local government and just how you can't say the Bears are looking at Arlington Heights land and making a bid. There's a lot more that gets involved when you're talking about the state of Illinois.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you go to all these different stadiums, and say you go to the new SoFi Stadium, you go to the Dallas Stadium. Up in the press box, they'll have a series of pictures how the stadium developed and the time it took. So we're just here thinking selfishly about the finished product.
Right.
About sitting there and watching a Super Bowl in February with the roof closed and great support around the area. There is all these different qualifications that Schwantzy bought up that need to be thought about that we as selfish people are not even thinking about.
A lot more than meets the eye. So when we come back, we will talk to a man who Tom Thayer referred to as the worst driver in Chicago, I think. Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.